Here's Andy Udman.
A provocative column we saw in the Wall Street Journal. It is about the drugs called statins. In fact, one of them, Lipitor, may be the most widely prescribed drug in the nation. But some people are claiming an unpublicized side effect from the medication. Memory loss, difficulty concentrating, fuzzy thoughts.
Statin drugs have been known to be troublemakers from the very beginning when they were first manufactured almost 20 years ago. Now, the promise was that when this was our major weapon against heart disease, it was just so impressive, we were going to slash heart disease. Well, 20 years later, the incidence of death from heart disease has not changed at all.
The cholesterol myth is something that unfortunately has misled many millions of consumers all throughout North America. It's something that I call the multi-trillion dollar lie. By misleading us about this alleged dark side of cholesterol, it has unfortunately led to so many illnesses that we're seeing today.
You talk about a provocative name for a book. Listen to this. 29 billion reasons to lie about cholesterol. Good morning, Pam Colleen. How are you?
Good morning, Andy. I'm great.
You ready to rock and roll?
Ready to rock and roll. This is one of my favorite subjects.
Oh, this is huge. You are trying to kill the, not the goose that laid the golden egg, but you are trying to kill the golden egg of big pharma, and that is cholesterol.
Well, the empire is crumbling, Andy. Even Dr. Oz has been on air saying that he has issues with and around statin drugs, which is remarkable.
One figure I heard this morning is that Lipitor alone brings in, rakes in for the drug industry, $19 billion. That's why we see it on ABC News every night. So what are you saying this morning about these statin drugs? First of all, what is a statin drug?
Well, these are the cholesterol-lowering drugs that are what Natasha, we have our guest on this morning, Natasha Campbell-McBride, and she calls them the little darlings of the pharmaceutical industry because they're such blockbuster drugs. They make these companies a lot of money.
Not millions.
Billions, yeah.
Billions.
But unfortunately, are they improving outcomes? And the answer to that question would be a big no.
The author of 29 Billion Reasons to Lie About Cholesterol is Justin Smith, producer of the film Statin Nation. Statin Nation, the great cholesterol cover-up. Folks, we are going to rock and roll and autism. Folks, if you know anyone who has autism, you need to listen to this show because the suggestion from one of our guests this morning is astounding and wonderful. If you believe the message from Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride, this is explosive news in the battle against autism. But first, let's start with Justin Smith. Pam, would you introduce Justin Smith?
Sure. From the other side of the pond, this morning we have Justin Smith, and he is the producer of the film Statin Nation and the author of the book 29 Billion Reasons to Lie About Cholesterol. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be with you today. Thank you very much.
We're delighted that you're coming in so clearly. It's almost like you're in the next room, Justin. How are things these days across the pond?
Oh, quite good. We've been blessed with a fantastically warm day today here in London, UK. Yes, it's we've had some terrible weather the last few weeks, but finally summer has made an appearance.
That's great. We've heard a lot about the bad weather. Some of our folks, including our Prime Minister and our local MP, Ed Holder, were just over for the funeral for Margaret Thatcher, and we interviewed Ed Holder while he was over there, and he was commenting about the terrible weather. We're not talking about the weather this morning, Justin. We're talking about your film, Statin Nation, The Great Cholesterol Cover-Up. Give us the Reader's Digest version of your documentary.
Yes. Well, basically, the cholesterol-lowering medications, as you correctly pointed out in your introduction, have been massively overprescribed, and the role that cholesterol plays in heart disease has been massively exaggerated. And so the film, the aim of the film and the book is to set the record straight and to inform people that really a raised cholesterol level doesn't tell us very much at all about our risk for heart disease. And most of the people who are currently taking statin medications really do not need to take them. They're not receiving any benefit from them. They're only exposing themselves to significant adverse effects.
Justin, the last thing we want to happen on this show is that the people who are listening, who have taken these statin drugs to avoid a heart attack, are going to have a heart attack because of what you're saying.
Right.
Because what you're saying is revolutionary.
I know, it's the problem, of course, is that we've had this message drilled into us in so many countries around the world from the pharmaceutical industry that a raised cholesterol level is dangerous and it needs to be lowered, that it's become indoctrinated into the whole medical establishment and the whole of the general public as well.
And there are some devastating side effects to taking these drugs as well. We were touching on those in the beginning of the show. Maybe you can elaborate on some of those side effects.
Yes, definitely. So the widely accepted and officially acknowledged adverse effects, the side effects associated with statins include depression, sleep disturbances, memory loss, sexual dysfunction, lung disease. It's very common to find muscle-related problems to the extent that people can no longer walk. Various cognitive loss, neuropathy, pancreatic dysfunction, liver dysfunction. More recent studies have also shown that statins cause type 2 diabetes and acute kidney injury. And on top of that, there are cases where people have committed suicide and suddenly become aggressive because of taking a statin. And there are also questions about the role that statins might play in heart failure. So what would seem paradoxically that taking a statin, if you have a weak heart muscle, will actually make your heart even weaker.
Well, here in Canada, I think it's prescribed that if you're taking a statin drug, that you should also be taking coenzyme Q10, a supplement, because doesn't it deplete the body of CoQ10, the statin?
It does, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So the way the statin drugs work is they block a biochemical pathway in the body, which is called the mevalonate pathway. This is the normal biochemical pathway that cholesterol is produced. The problem is when you block the mevalonate pathway for cholesterol production, you also block the production of CoQ10, which is an essential molecule for the production of all energy within the body.
Justin, I want to share with you that years ago, I'll never forget this, we were watching ABC News and a commercial came on either for Crestor or for Lipitor. And, they always start with the danger or the bad side. And then they show at the end, they're smiling and they're fishing and they're doing wonderful things. But then there's this section where they rhyme off, as you just did, a word of caution. You could suffer from depression. Your sexual life is over. Your muscles won't work. Your pancreas will shut down. You could get type 2 diabetes. But it's a wonderful drug. And then they end with a smile. And my wife looked at me and she said, who would take that drug? And so I'm asking you, Justin, with all these warnings, who would take these drugs, these statin drugs that we see sponsoring ABC News every night of the week?
It's really astonishing, isn't it? And, you know, we have more than 44 million people around the world now taking these medications.
44.
It's really astounding.
44 million people. And can you
44
put
44 million people.
And can you give us a price tag on Lipitor alone and how many billions it rakes in for Pfizer?
Well, I think it's difficult to know the up-to-date figures with Lipitor because, you know, it's fairly recently gone off patent. So the copyright has expired on Lipitor, so there's more competition for other generic statin drugs now. But in 2010, the cholesterol-lowering drugs, the market size for cholesterol-lowering drugs in general was $35 billion. And so it's difficult to put a precise figure on it, but that's the order of magnitude that we're looking at.
Now, Justin, in your film, Statin Nation, you have some heavy hitters in there. You have some really big-name doctors that have been trying to warn people about this cholesterol myth for many, many years.
Yes, absolutely.
Can you talk about some of these doctors? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dr. John Abramson, who's a tutor at Harvard Medical School. We have Dr. Paul Roche, who's president of the American Institute of Stress and vice president of the International Stress Association. And Dr. Roche has won just about every medical award that you can possibly think of. We have Professor Causey Ray from St. George's Hospital in South London. And, of course, Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride, who I believe will be on the show later.
She's with us right now.
She will. We do have to take a short break. Mm-hmm. But, Doctor, I want to ask you this before we go to the commercial break. What are you saying to those folks right now who either take one of these statin drugs, or have a family member or a loved one or a parent or a grandparent who takes one of these drugs? I mean, is this all death, mayhem, and the apocalypse, or is there some good news in all of this?
Well, so you have to consider a difference between those people who have an existing heart problem and those people who don't have an existing heart problem. So the vast majority of people who take statins are taking them under the pretext of preventing a future heart problem. Well, the evidence shows that they don't actually protect us very much, and they increase the risk for other serious diseases, so there's no net benefit. So for those people who don't have an existing diagnosed heart problem, really there's no evidence at all, despite all the billions of dollars spent on the clinical trials, there's no evidence that those people will actually benefit.
And the same thing with women. Isn't there a lot of research now showing that really there's no benefit for women taking these if there's no pre-existing condition?
Exactly. There's no benefit for women of any age to take statins. That's what the data is showing from the clinical trials. The only people who may benefit from taking statins are middle-aged men who have already had a heart attack and, of course, then unfortunately be still at a high risk of having another heart attack.
Justin, so, hold that thought. We do have to take a break when we come back. The author, she's in this documentary, but she's also the author of the book, Put Your Heart in Your Mouth. What does that mean, Pam?
Well, actually, what happened with Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride is she wrote her first book, Gut and Psychology Syndrome, because she works with a lot of children who are suffering with things like autism. And she was telling the parents that the children needed more dietary cholesterol and animal fat in their diets. And the parents were all very, you know, I'm shocked that you would recommend more animal fat and cholesterol. And so to educate them about the fact that animal fat and cholesterol are our friends and not our enemy, she wrote her following book, which is Put Your Heart in Your Mouth and Why These Foods, Saturated Fat and Dietary Cholesterol, are actually good for your health and not bad.
The message being what you put in your mouth helps your heart if it's the right food. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with our two fascinating guests, Justin Smith and Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride, in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
The cholesterol myth is something that unfortunately has misled many millions of consumers all throughout North America. It's something that I call the multi-trillion dollar lie. By misleading us about this alleged dark side of cholesterol, it has unfortunately led to so many illnesses that we're seeing today. And it's not just inflammatory conditions like heart disease, like cancer. It's also mental issues like autism, like depression, like suicidal thoughts, aggression. I mean, when you don't get enough cholesterol in your diet, you're setting yourself up for disaster.
This stands as organized crime, but there's a lot more money in this. And in fact, many, many more people get hurt.
I just had to throw that in, Pam. That's an incredible statement.
Yeah, drugs are supposed to be making us healthier, aren't they, Andy?
And so the horrible news this morning is the drugs are not making us healthy, the statin drugs. And to suggest now that the big pharma is like organized crime, only their products hurt a lot more people.
Well, we've had Dr. John Abramson on the show. You know, he calls it very outright. This is like a mafia type of organization, the medical mafia, as the term goes.
And just review before we get to our next guest, the reference to organized crime, those are words that are chosen carefully.
Mm-hmm.
That there have been. How many lawsuits and how many criminal charges against the drug companies?
That's right. I mean, like I always say on the show, GlaxoSmithKline has a rap sheet as long as my arm. I mean, there's other companies that are following suit in terms of their criminal behavior, shall we say.
Okay, I want to focus for just the next couple of moments on autism, because every time we mention autism, we get calls from parents, and they're such painful, painful stories that any ray of hope is something that they just hang on to. And that's why I'm delighted this morning we have a very special guest.
Right. This morning, I'm very thrilled to say that we have Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride, and she is the author of the book Gut and Psychology Syndrome, and also another book called Put Your Heart in Your Mouth. And as a medical doctor, Natasha Campbell-McBride actually had a son who was diagnosed with autism, and through dietary changes, she was able to help her son be cured of this condition.
Doctor, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Hello. It's a pleasure for me.
Doctor, your son's name?
My name is Nicholas. My son's name is Nicholas.
Nicholas, tell us the story of Nicholas, if you would.
Sorry?
Could you share with us the story of your son?
Well, he's 20 years old now. He's fully recovered. He is going to university. He's driving. He had a girlfriend. So he's living a normal life. Autism is curable. Autism is a digestive disorder. That's what I have discovered through my own personal experience and through the experience of thousands of children in my clinic. It is a digestive disorder, and it is perfectly curable as long as you catch the child early. The younger the child is, the less there is for the child to catch up on development, and the less ingrained the disorder becomes in the body.
Doctor, I'm going to...
For up to 5 years old, autistic children, and implement the proper protocol with them and work with them, there is an excellent chance for that child to shake off autism completely and lead a normal life. Obviously, the older the child is, they will improve with the protocol, but they will take longer, and they may not recover fully.
Okay, doctor, I'm going to jump in for just a moment because we seem to have a really bad line, and I just do not want to our listeners to get frustrated by the fact that they can't hear your message. So we're going to try to get a better line for Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride. But Pam, would you just summarize what the doctor is saying about what happened with her son?
Well, essentially, what she does as a clinician is when she's working with children with all sorts of mood issues, including autism, she's focusing on the digestive tract. In other words, and as we've said on the show, Andy, your gut is your second brain. And so Dr. Campbell-McBride uses probiotic-rich foods like sauerkraut, for example, all of these foods to help recolonize the friendly bacteria, the friendly organisms in the gut. And second to that, what she's doing is reintroducing nutrient-dense foods into the diet, foods such as butter, such as meat and eggs and all of these traditional foods into the diet in order to help the child recover.
Let's cut to the bottom line because people are saying, wait a minute, are you suggesting, are you suggesting that autism, that horrible, horrible disease, which we're seeing an explosion of, can actually be addressed, alleviated, and even cured by proper nutrition?
Proper nutrition makes a huge difference. There's no question about it. Like she said, her son was diagnosed with autism, and now he's 20 years old, and he's a very healthy young man.
And driving a car.
Yeah, I mean, I see and hear these stories all the time from mothers who learn about the importance of nutrient-dense foods. A lot of these mothers and fathers are going to the farm to obtain these foods where these animals are pasture-raised, more nutrient-dense. They start eliminating commercially processed foods from the child's diet. They work on gut ecology, in other words, balancing the flora of the gut. And these children end up to lead very normal lives. But it still comes down to, as well, we're tying the cholesterol story in here too, because cholesterol is key. A lot of kids with autism have very low cholesterol.
So the common theme between these two stories is that even for vicious health disorders, proper nutrition can bring amazing results. We're coming down to the bottom of the hour. We do have to break for a news break. We'll be back with our two fascinating guests, Justin Smith, producer of the film Statin Nation, The Great Cholesterol Cover-Up, and Dr. Campbell-McBride, if we can get a better line with the book Put Your Heart in Your Mouth, the amazing story of her son and the amazing results she got addressing his autism through proper nutrition. Jill is standing by with 10:30 News, and we'll be back in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Statin drugs have been known to be troublemakers from the very beginning when they were first manufactured almost 20 years ago. Now, the promise was that when this was our major weapon against heart disease, it was just so impressive, we were going to slash heart disease. Well, 20 years later, the incidence of death from heart disease has not changed at all.
What a name for a book, 29 Billion Reasons to Lie About Cholesterol. The author is with us this morning. Justin Smith is the producer of the film Statin Nation, The Great Cholesterol Cover-Up. Justin Smith, this has now become a sort of a personal crusade for you, has it?
Absolutely, yes. It started when I was working as a nutritionist and a personal trainer. And through my own independent research, I first became aware of the myths about cholesterol and its supposed role in heart disease. And then I started to write the book about that. And the documentary film was just a natural progression from the book to try and get the message out to a much wider audience.
I asked you earlier, is there good news in all of this? Because, like I say, a lot of, in fact, everybody who's taking statin drugs, I mean, basically the aim is to avoid dying of a heart attack. And so I don't want to give them a heart attack by saying the drug not only is not effective, it is not safe. And you have pointed to such nasty side effects as depression and loss of sexual desire, shutdown of muscles, the shutdown of the pancreas, type 2 diabetes, aggression, a weak heart, and on and on the list goes. But give us that little item of good news. In fact, a big item of good news, and that is through proper nutrition, you can avoid all of this and get great results.
Absolutely. I mean, when you look at the clinical evidence, we can see that none of the medications come anywhere near close to the benefits that we see when people make simple changes to their lifestyle. So even if you can't make radical changes to the lifestyle, you can improve your nutrition a bit. You can take a little bit more exercise. That will be infinitely more beneficial to everyone than any toxic medication will ever be.
But the cholesterol myth also ties into a lot of nutritional misinformation that unfortunately leads to a lot of illness. So as a nutritionist, what do you recommend?
Well, I reckon just simply whole natural food as much as possible. So not following any particular kind of diet that's becoming in fashion, but just having a good balanced diet based on a fair amount of protein from meat, poultry, seafood, and eggs, and then getting most of the carbohydrates from vegetables and a small to moderate amount of fruit. Mm-hmm. Of course, we all get caught out from time to time, but if we aim for those traditional whole foods, then that will improve our lives and our health immensely.
What are you saying? Three square meals like grandma used to cook?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's common sense. And unfortunately, this kind of nutritional wisdom has been wiped out of our brains, Andy.
Wouldn't it be something if on ABC News, instead of Lipitor, we suddenly saw a commercial featuring Justin Smith or Pam Killeen saying, we're not going to make any money on this. In fact, we're probably going to go broke, but just eat three square meals a day and your health will dramatically improve. Forget Lipitor, forget Crestor. Now, doctor, I wonder if you could say a word, or sorry, Justin, I wonder if you could say a word about Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride and her amazing story, and then we'll have her comment on it.
Well, Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride is really one of the key figures in getting people to realize the important connection between the gut, the digestive system, and psychological health. And her book, Gut and Psychology Syndrome, went on then to develop this whole GAPS protocol. And I know that she trains nutritionists around the world to implement this nutritional protocol to improve the digestive system, which then leads to improvements in psychological well-being. So yes, autism is a very important one. But it happens to be beneficial for psychological problems across the whole spectrum.
Doctor, let me ask you this question. You're there, doctor. We have you back on a better line, I take it.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, you're so much clearer now. I'm delighted to hear that. I wonder if you could, because it just amazes me how many of the guests we have had on who learned what they learned, not just through reading books and medical school and formal education, but they have a very personal story, and I always treasure those. And I wonder again, if you could just share the story of your son.
Well, I have just published a third book, which is called GAPS Stories, which is full of stories such as that. Stories of people who have implemented the GAPS nutritional protocol. GAPS stands for Gut and Psychology Syndrome and Gut and Physiology Syndrome. It's an acronym that I have developed. And from it, there is a GAPS nutritional protocol, a treatment protocol for treating these conditions. Basically, what these conditions are, they are digestive disorders. All health and all disease begins in the gut, in the digestive tract. Hippocrates said this all those thousands of years ago, and the more we learn with our scientific muscle, the more we realize just how correct he was. And autism and schizophrenia and bipolar disorder and epilepsy and eating disorders and depression and all other psychiatric disorders and many physical disorders stem from the digestive tract. What happens to people that they do not develop normal gut flora, their gut gets dominated by a mixture of pathogenic disease-causing microbes. These microbes digest food in their own way, producing hundreds of very toxic poisonous substances, which are absorbed into the body, into the bloodstream, get distributed around the body, and wherever they get in the body, they cause trouble. So if they get into the brain of the person, they will impair the function of the brain. If they get into your joints, they will cause arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis and other forms of arthritis. If they get into your skin, you will get psoriasis or eczema or another problem. If they get into your kidneys, they will cause nephropathy or chronic cystitis. If they get into any other organ, they will cause trouble. And autoimmunity is born in the digestive tract as well. because about 85% of our immune system is located in the gut wall. So we're talking here about rheumatoid arthritis and multiple sclerosis and diabetes type 1 and all the other autoimmune conditions, which our science has identified about 200 of them now.
Doctor, let me jump in and just to ask you, where was Nicholas at his worst and where is your son now in terms of his health dealing with autism?
My son is only one example. I said there are thousands of examples that have followed and that have recovered at the same time. My son was severely autistic at the age of 3. That's when he was diagnosed. He could not speak, he could not understand language. He could pick up a hand of any stranger on the street and walk away because his parents didn't mean any more to him than any other human being around. He was severely, severely autistic. And now he's 20 years old. He's normally functioning. He's going to university. He's driving. He's got a girlfriend. He's leading a normal life.
Now, part of the story also involves getting people to overcome their fears around dietary cholesterol and saturated fat, because these are important foods for the nervous system as well.
Absolutely. GAPS protocol is a very natural protocol, and most of it is diet, because GAPS conditions are digestive disorders. Our digestive system is a long tube. What you fill that tube with has a direct effect on its well-being. I don't know why gastroenterologists don't understand that, but diet is the basis of treatment of any chronic disease. And an important part of GAPS diet that I have developed is animal fats. Fats coming lamb fat and beef fat and goose fat and duck fat and chicken fat and pork fat, because these fats have the right chemical composition for the human body. The composition of fatty acids are very similar to our own fats in the body. And our brain is largely made out of fat. If you want to recover from any condition that affects your brain, you have to eat large amounts of animal fats, fresh animal fats, preferably from good quality grass-fed animals.
Doctor, Butter and cream
are very important too, from very good quality grass-fed milk.
Doctor, I do not want to mislead our audience in any way, but am I understanding you correctly that your son had a terrible problem with autism and at the age of 3, as you said, would walk away with any other people because you didn't mean any more to him than anyone else, and now he's 20 years old, is cured of autism, has a girlfriend, is driving a car? Would you be so bold to say to our listeners who have a son or a daughter who has autism that they could achieve the same results if they ate in the manner that you just described?
Of course, absolutely. And we don't just have to give one example of my child. There are thousands of children who have recovered with GAPS nutritional protocol, fully recovered.
I can vouch for Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride. I talk to people all the time who have had children who have been diagnosed with autism, and now they're fine, as long as they follow these very important nutritional principles.
But here's my question. I see people all the time dealing with autism, and I don't hear them sharing this message. Do they not know of Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride and her approach?
This information is slowly coming to the surface, Andy. It has to. There's just too many sick children out there today.
Doctor, what are you finding when it comes to parents of autism? Are they hearing this message? Do they know about your message? Because this is absolutely miraculous news.
Of course they do. Of course they do. There are up to 100,000 people now who are following, who are aware of my book and my work, and who are following GAPS nutritional protocol. If you Google GAPS, you will come up with hundreds of websites and discussion groups and other. It's a movement, and it is growing, thankfully, because this nutritional protocol, it doesn't just normalize and the situation with autism, it doesn't just help that. It helps attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, dyslexic children, dyspraxic children. Epilepsy goes away in a large percent of people, or reduces, the seizures reduce in number. It is one of the most effective diets for epilepsy, particularly in children. For schizophrenics, for bipolar disorder, for diabetes, for eating disorders such as anorexia nervosa, and also for many physical conditions.
Could you share with us the kind of dinner that you served your son that you think was the key to him going from being a severe victim of autism to being a recovered autistic victim?
Well, a joint of meat, and preferably fatty one, pork, lamb, beef, a whole duck, a whole goose, or a whole chicken roasted, plus roasted vegetables, non-starch vegetables, because starchy vegetables not allowed. So we would roast peppers and courgettes and marrows and aubergines and carrots can be roasted and parsnips and onions are wonderful. All drowned, absolutely roasting in a large amount of fat from the joint. And a salad. That is the usual diet, the usual dinner.
Mm-hmm. And you're a big fan of the lacto-fermented foods as well, aren't you?
Absolutely. Lacto-fermented foods such as sauerkraut and kefir and yogurt, dairy-fermented foods and vegetable-fermented foods.
Doctor, let me ask you this to make a very bold statement. If we as a society were to adopt the kinds of eating habits and nutritional habits that you're suggesting, what would be the impact on the state of health of the people of North America?
It will improve. People will lose weight. People will lose diabetes. Children will regain their normal size and their ability to function mentally and physically and their ability to behave normally.
But the government is putting out all sorts of information that contradicts this ancestral diet. They're actually putting out information that says otherwise. They're promoting a high-carb, low-fat diet.
Yes, I know. It is a misinformation. The whole heart advice for the heart disease comes from a hypothesis which was proposed in the 1950s, and those hypotheses have been proven conclusively to be entirely wrong. Trouble is, while the science was proving that hypothesis wrong, a huge political and commercial machine grew based on this hypothesis. Pharmaceutical industry is making billions on this hypothesis. Food industry is making billions. Medical industry is making billions. And, of course, that machine is not prepared to stop, despite the fact that they know the hypothesis is wrong. And the more proof is coming out that the hypothesis is wrong, the stronger their propaganda becomes.
Doctor, I have to jump in. We have to take a short break. We have just a few moments left. I want to give the opportunity to both of our guests this morning to really summarize their incredible story. And I'm so touched by Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride's story about her son with autism, because I know people who have autism. I know people who suffer so badly because their child is so disconnected from them emotionally because of autism. And this just provides such great hope. And our other guest, Justin Smith, a producer of the film Staten Nation, The Great Cholesterol Cover-Up. Back with both in just a moment right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK. Well, Pam, just as I suspected, we're now getting a string of emails saying, please, where can I get this information? First of all, about Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride and this incredibly hopeful message
right. That
she's sharing about
well,
a
her
cure.
Book is fabulous. Her book is fabulous. It's called Gut and Psychology Syndrome. Her website is www.gaps.me, and GAPS stands for Gut and Psychology Syndrome. So if you just look that up on, do a Google search, you'll find lots of information and interviews with Dr. Natasha Campbell McBride.
I wonder, Doctor, if you could just give us a parting message, which is providing so much hope for families who have someone in their, a loved one who has autism. What is your simple message?
My simple message is that nutrition is extremely powerful. Every morsel of food that you put in your mouth has a profound effect on your health. And the roots of our health are embedded in our gut, in our digestive tract. Once you put the digestive health right, all sorts of things in the body just straighten up without any failure whatsoever, including the brain. So just work on the GAPS nutritional protocol and you will get so many benefits that you couldn't even expect.
That's right. And we can't, we have to put the two together, the two stories about gut and gut flora and the importance of dietary cholesterol as well. Both stories are intertwined.
Doctor, I like to make it real simple, a takeaway. The five things you should never put in your mouth and the five things we should be putting in our mouth.
Well, we should be putting animal fat into our mouth. We should be eating eggs. Every human being should have a couple of eggs a day at least. A person who is recovering from any kind of mental illness needs 5-6 eggs a day. Fresh eggs, not egg powders, not processed. And the most important thing is to eat your food in the shape and form that Mother Nature has created that food. Not processed, not put through some factory, through some chemical processes. Fresh meat, fresh eggs, fresh vegetables, fresh fruit, Possibly frozen meats are okay, but nothing that is refined, nothing that is processed. And the first processed thing that has to go are sweeteners. All processed sweeteners first is sugar, has to go. It's a very processed substance. And anything made out of flour, I'm afraid, because flour is one of the most processed things on this planet. And then our bread's made out of it, and all our pastries and everything else is made out.
It's interesting you should mention sugar, because Pam has always pointed to sugar as probably the greatest key factor in the horrible mess we're in with our health today. In fact, there was a study out of Germany today suggesting that for every if you live a lifestyle in which you drink a soda pop, even one a day, your chances of getting diabetes soar by 20%. Now, we have just a moment left. I want to give a final word to Justin Smith, producer of the film Statin Nation, The Great Cholesterol Cover-Up, and the book 29 Billion Reasons to Lie About Cholesterol. Justin, your parting message in 1 minute, if you would.
Okay, so basically, if you're not a middle-aged man who has already had a heart attack, then seriously think about whether you need to take a statin medication or not. Watch the film. It's available on YouTube at the moment, at least until the end of the month, to watch for free. So gather as much information as you can and make your own individual decision about it.
Wow. And your message as well, it's just amazing. If you change your nutritional habits, forget the ads on ABC, forget Lipitor and Crestor, just go with good nutrition and you will get results. Is that your message, Justin?
Absolutely, yes. I couldn't emphasize more the message that Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride has. And yes, we shouldn't be worrying about an arbitrary level of cholesterol in our bloodstream. We should be worrying about getting good, nutritious food into our bodies every day. That's the most important thing.
Okay. And maybe we could prevent our province from going bankrupt because of this healthcare crisis,
well,
Andy.
Our province, every province, and our federal government and the American government. Okay, just literally seconds left. Justin, where can they find the film? YouTube?
YouTube and also statinnation.net.
Okay, and Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride, where can they find more about your amazing message?
You can Google GAPS. Gap and Psychology Syndrome. You will find a lot of information. I run only one website, which is called gaps.me. Me is myself.
And what, yeah. Let me ask you, what is Nicholas planning to be?
He's planning to be a journalist. He's planning to work in media.
Well, it's an honorable profession. As long as he doesn't become a radio talk show host, you tell him that, okay? Justin Smith, we have to run. We thank you so much for your time, and Dr. Natasha Campbell-McBride.
Thank you so much for joining us. And I just want to make an announcement. I've been invited to join in on the Healthy Kids Revolution Summit. It's going to be airing around May the 8th. Carmen Johnson is the moderator. And I'm doing a talk online called Brain Boosting Foods for Kids. So I'll give people an update next week.
Okay, Pam, mm-hmm. I'm going to keep you on for just a couple of moments after
sure.
the news.
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of high school students in Ottawa, major story this morning, suspended from school. You know why? Bad behavior? No. Doing drugs? No. They don't have proof of their vaccines. I want to open up the phone lines, ask you folks if you've been through this, because so many of our listeners have been, and what Pam's advice is. Suspended for not being able to prove you've had the proper vaccinations when so many parents don't want the vaccinations. Back with that in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.
Here's Andy Udman.
Hundreds of Ottawa high school students were suspended from school today, not because of their behavior, but because they haven't had their vaccination booster shots.
Doctors are fielding frantic calls from parents scrambling to get their kids vaccinated and back in school.
This doctor's office has been fielding calls from frantic parents for 2 weeks. Dr. Jane Little says public health is right in pushing kids to get immunized, but questions how that message is being delivered.
You know, we've got a lot of teenagers that are dealing with a lot of anxiety for other reasons, so to create one more layer, I am a bit concerned about. So I do think 20-day suspension is a bit harsh.
9 minutes after 11 o'clock now on this Thursday, the 25th day of April. This is a story that always strikes me. I can't imagine what it's like to be a parent today of a small child, a parent who believes that vaccinations are less than safe, even dangerous, and may not even be effective, and have decided, after doing that research, and there's all kinds of evidence out there to support them, that they don't want to vaccinate their child. And then they are pressured in a major way, a way in which you cannot understand when you're facing a doctor. And I heard this from a young mom recently. She went to her doctor just to have her children with their normal checkup, and the doctor noticed that she had not vaccinated her children. She felt like she was being, well, like she was a criminal, and like she wasn't going to escape from the doctor's office until she promised to have her child vaccinated. We had on this show a London chiropractor, Dr. Scott Stallard, share this incredible story of how he was pressured at the London Health Sciences Center to have his young child vaccinated. In fact, they threatened to call the children's aid. In fact, they threatened to take his child away until he pushed back. He's a doctor. He's a chiropractor. He's strong. He has the arguments. He's done the research. But I'm wondering this morning, folks, if you have a story with respect to the pressure that we as a society put on parents to have their children vaccinated. And that's why I was fascinated by this story out of a high school in Ottawa where hundreds of students literally have been suspended for not having their vaccines or for not having proof of their vaccines. I want to share with you the story as reported on CTV Ottawa involving some of the parents and the pressure they are under, and I would like to hear your story. 643-1290. The phone lines are open. 643-1290. I'd like to hear your story. Do you have a similar story? Because I hear it all the time from parents like the one I mentioned in a doctor's office, from this chiropractor who was on our show. I'd love to talk to him this morning. I have not been able to connect with him just yet. But Dr. Stallard, if you're listening, I'd love to share your story with our audience this morning. The tremendous pressure that that parents are under from, as Pam likes to call them, the medical mafia to have these vaccines. They're put in a tremendous conundrum. 643-1290, the phone lines are starting to light up. I will share that report from CTV in just a moment, but let's start with Angie. Good morning, Angie.
Hi, good morning, Andy. Yes, I had that situation with my children, and I don't understand why doctors don't give parents the option of an exemption form. It's very easy. You go to the health unit, and you get an exemption form, fill it out, and you're fine. And I think that parents are just scared into doing what they're told. And the other issue I had also, and I don't know if Pam is still there, but...
Yes, Pam is. I should mention that, Angie. Pam, and I asked Pam to stay on for this because, Pam, okay. your thoughts on vaccines are pretty clear.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I mean,
a child...
What I wanted to ask her is if she was aware of the peanut allergy that apparently has been caused by the peanut oil adjuvant added to vaccines that people are totally unaware of.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the theories. I mean, there's many different catalysts potentially that in every child it could be different. But I mean, these vaccines are loaded with all sorts of very toxic ingredients. There's no question about that.
I'm very distressed about the fact that there are millions of children today that are walking around with the EpiPens because it could they could have a fatal reaction, and yet these children are being injected with the peanut oil to begin with. So it's very, very, very scary stuff out there.
Angie, have you ever been in a situation where a doctor wearing the white jacket does the "you have to vaccinate your child or I'll call the children's aid" routine?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have been threatened at the children's hospital to have a children's aid come to my door, and I remember not being able to sleep for 3 nights after that, just getting up in the middle of the night crying in fear that a car from the government would come to my front door and take my child away. It was one of the scariest times in my life.
But you've done some research to question vaccines, correct?
Absolutely, and I have 4 children, and I've not vaccinated them, and they are healthy.
Good for you. Good for you.
I have good friends who are in the same situation, but mom is not a person who likes to lock horns with a doctor with all those diplomas on the wall.
You have to do it very carefully, very astutely. I almost say you have to be a very suave saboteur.
Mm-hmm. We've had a pediatrician on the show, Dr. Larry Pilevsky. He did a talk here in London.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
it was
standing room only. Yeah. And here's a pediatrician who's done his research as a medical doctor, and he is strongly questioning vaccines.
Angie, bravo. You're an inspiration to others to be strong and to stand up to doctors who are threatening to call Children's Aid to take your children.
Well, it ties in with what Pam talks about, the gut as a second brain. You have to follow your gut because your gut knows what's right.
Angie, great call. Appreciate it. Chris, what's your story?
We're in the same situation here. We have three kids, and we've gone through the exemption form, too. And with our third, we didn't do the exemption form, and so she went through JK and then SK, and about a month ago, we got a call saying that they were going to suspend her if we didn't have the form. So we did the form, but it took a year and a half before they even threatened to do it. And the form, all you have to do is get someone from municipal council to sign it. Well, what does a municipal council person have to do with vaccination? I just don't understand.
Well, you mean we'd have to interrupt Stephen Orser distributing the Hitler brochures to get him to sign the form to get your child to be exempted from vaccines?
Yep, that's good enough. And our doctor, he is not questioning it. He always asks when we go in whether they're getting their immunizations, and we just say no, and he's okay with it. So we're lucky that way. But, yeah, a councilman can sign off, and as long as it's stamped that they're a council member, that they can they're good enough to go to school still.
I'd never heard of the city council angle. That is very, very interesting. Chris, I appreciate it. The horror stories are out there, Pam, all the time, and yet somehow they're not reported in the media, mm-hmm. and parents are under tremendous pressure to have their children vaccinated.
I get more and more stories every year of parents where there's intimidation factors being used to vaccinate their children, and parents are actually arming themselves with more information so that they can counteract this kind of fear-mongering.
Okay, let's go back to the phones, and Lisa. Lisa, what's your story?
Hi. Yeah, we were in the London Health Sciences Center as a result of an emergency call. Sorry, I'm getting all choked up here. But we had three of our children involved in an accident, and we were held for 5 hours because we did not want to give our children the vaccine, the tetanus shot. And our one son was in a concussion, and he was not responding. And so, you know, it was rather a traumatic event. And, you know, we were approached by three different doctors. I have great respect for them. They did a good job of, you know, taking care of our kids and everything with my son's trauma. And, you know, we just felt like, you know, they weren't our children. We just felt like we weren't our rights as parents were not being respected.
Lisa, what kind of tactics were they using to try and intimidate you?
They were saying things like they asked if we wanted to initially, like, we think you need to give your son or your children the measles, mumps, rubella because of the nature of the reason why you're in here. And so we said, well, you know, based on my research, you know, I've been researching this for 10 years since our first daughter was born. It wasn't like I'm coming in just saying, well, I've heard vaccines aren't good for you, right? Like, I've done my research. I've got my, you know, and I told them everything. You know, I personally know a handful of people that have been negatively affected by vaccines. And so then he got another doctor to come and talk to us that has seen two different cases of lockjaw. So then this doctor came and talked to us. I think I declined 5 times before finally the doctor just said, you know, basically, if you don't give your children the tetanus shot, you will not leave this hospital without a big battle.
Oh, my word.
So at that point, we just said, you know what? I want to keep my kids. I don't want CAS involved. So we basically said, okay, well, we'll give you the needles. We'll give our children the needles. And even when the nurse was about to give our children the needles, she said, do you agree to having this? I said, no, I don't. I don't agree. But basically, we have to. We don't have a choice. And she said, the nurse said to me, do you need to talk to the doctor again? Because I need you to confirm that we can give your son, your children, the needles. And so basically, I just said, fine, do it. Just do it. I mean, you know, I want to get out of here. This is at 2 a.m. Like, I'm tired. I haven't had a decent supper, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, they were wearing us down to the point where we just basically decided, you know, I want to keep my kids.
Oh, my word.
So did you agree, Lisa, to the vaccines?
I basically felt like at that point I had no choice.
You agreed under duress. You agreed under duress.
Yes. I said, well, I have no choice. And, yeah.
How recently was this?
This was in March. March 30th?
Just this year.
This year, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In other words, a month ago.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
I can tell in your voice that this is a very traumatic experience.
I mean, already she was under stress. Her children were in a car accident. My goodness.
And you said you were basically held for 5 hours. They were not going to let you go home. Did they threaten to call the children's aid?
They said you will not leave this hospital without an ethical battle.
What kind of country are we living in, Andy? I mean, this is just unacceptable.
They were held hostage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By
yeah.
our own London Health Sciences Center.
Did you call a lawyer? Did you think about calling a lawyer?
We didn't, because at this point, I was just like, okay, my son just had this issue. My daughter's, you know, her eye is bruised, you know, we're already just feeling like, okay, well, basically, you're here to for your children, but they're not really your children.
Lisa, can I make a deal with you? I want to just keep you on hold. I want our producer, Rick, to get some contact information with you. I want to stay in touch with you. Because you and I need to chat off the air, okay? This is absolutely unconscionable that this should happen. So we're just going to put you on hold, and Rick will get some contact information, and I'll call you off the air, and we'll have a chat. What an incredible story.
That's incredible. I mean, children can die of thousands of diseases, Andy. Thousands of illnesses could kill any one of us at any point in time. Does this mean that we're supposed to be vaccinated thousands of times?
How many times have Lisa happened to be listening to this show and shared her story with us? How many other parents have been put through the same tactics at our own London Health Science Center? Okay, I want to go to John. John, what's your story, John?
Well, Andy, I don't really have a story, but I'd like to ask you something. I find this very, very informative, more so than any show. These girls do have and have gone through traumatic experiences, and you're explaining that to us. But why do you always take your time when these things are being discussed to make some smart-ass comments about Steve Orscher? What prompts you to bring him in to this serious conversation?
Okay, John, I appreciate your input. Pam, what should parents do in a situation like the one that Lisa just described?
Well, I think what Scott did was he just stood his ground, and he was able to leave the hospital with his son after these same tactics were used on him. I think that what people need to do is look for these exemption forms and sign them, and just learn to say no. I spoke to another mother recently who's husband went in and had his facts in front of him. He met with Dr. Warshawski and he said, no, I don't want my children vaccinated. But he presented the facts. He had done his research and stood his ground at the same time. And he was able to basically make sure that his child was safe.
Okay, I want to share that report from Ottawa because it just goes to show the pressure that's as if we didn't know it after Lisa's call. But let's share that CTV report from Ottawa about what is happening right now at this high school in Ottawa, and obviously is happening right here in London at the London Health Sciences Center. Here we go.
Hundreds of Ottawa high school students were suspended from school today, not because of their behavior, but because they haven't had their vaccination booster shots.
Doctors are fielding frantic calls from parents scrambling to get their kids vaccinated and back in school.
CTV's Joanne Scher is covering this exclusive story for us tonight. Suspension, Joe, this sounds pretty drastic.
Well, school boards tell us they're just following the provincial law on this. And in fact, there is a very strict policy. Parents are warned months in advance. If they don't heed the warnings, their kids will be suspended for 20 days.
Josh Measures is supposed to be starting his 20-day suspension today, along with hundreds of other high school students in the Ottawa area.
20 days is a long time for not having shots.
On Monday, his mother got a letter from Ottawa Public Health saying he didn't have an up-to-date tetanus shot, so he was suspended.
Tell the parents what to do and don't punish the kids.
Karen Butel says it was her mistake not letting public health know her son's shots were updated.
He was up to date, and maybe as a parent, I didn't know I was supposed to call public health and tell them, but that was years ago, and I just didn't know to do that. So to suspend my child was completely wrong.
Josh is in school today, but 22 other kids at John McCrae High School started their suspension out till they prove they've either got the shots they need or they get them. Ottawa Public Health says about 2,000 letters of suspension were sent out. This doctor's office has been fielding calls from frantic parents for 2 weeks. Dr. Jane Little says public health is right in pushing kids to get immunized, but questions how that message is being delivered.
you know, we've got a lot of teenagers that are dealing with a lot of anxiety for other reasons. So to create one more layer, I am a bit concerned about. So I do think 20-day suspension is a bit harsh.
Public Health says it's following provincial legislation that requires proof of immunization. Parents would have received two warnings before the suspension notices went out.
By the time we get to the final stage, which is the suspension, generally the vast majority of parents have already responded. This final step really tends to get their attention.
Dr. Pym says parents need to realize the importance of proper immunization, not only for their kids, but for others around them. Coincidentally, this is World Immunization Awareness Week.
Now, Dr. Little says if there's one positive in the suspensions, it has gotten kids into her office to update their shots and given her a chance to remind parents that they, too, need to update their tetanus shots every 10 years. Carol Ann.
I just learned something. CTV's Joanne Schnee reporting live for us tonight. Thank you, Joanne.
All right.
So there it is, World Immunization Awareness Week.
Andy, we have to remember that some of these vaccines are made by a company called GlaxoSmithKline. GlaxoSmithKline has a long, long criminal record. Look at their history of fines. I mean, they have been guilty time after time again. They have a rap sheet. I always say that it says, as long as my arm. If you're a parent and, you know, you look at some of the criminal records of these companies making these vaccines, you have to ask yourself, do you feel really safe and secure injecting your child with these products?
Well, I think Lisa has done so much to give us a wake-up call about the kind of pressures that parents are under in our own hospitals. I mean, literally, they held these children after they had just been in a car crash and said, you're not going to leave this hospital until you have your children back.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
That's
right down the street from here.
Right, happening at this hospital a mile down the road from the studio. Wow, what a story. Pam, thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy.
Parents, be strong in the battle. We're going to take a break for a news update. When we come back, as if we need more angst for parents out there. There's a warning from the OPP today about some cleaning agents in our homes, which parents may not be aware of their potential for their teenage son or daughter to use as, well, as a killing agent, quite frankly. Detergent suicide, they're calling it, if you can imagine. We'll talk to OPP Sergeant Dave Rector about it in just a moment, right here on London Today on News Talk 1290 CJBK.